This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Patso and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based in Cali and Floyd. Big Red.
Go Cats.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Big Red.
Go Cats.
Yeah.
Big Red.
Big Red.
Go.
Welcome to the Big Red Podcast.
Start over, Joe, but leave this in. I'm leaving it in.
Welcome to the Big Red Cobcast podcast, I was going to say.
I'm Joe. I'm Ryan.
And there's no Pat.
No Pat this week. He quit. He's done.
Wow.
He's out.
I wouldn't blame him, but that's not exactly true. But Ryan and I are in our own way, have quit as well.
That's true. And it's funny because when Pat's gone, usually we have Mike on. There's very few podcasts where it's just me and Joe.
Yeah.
Because they usually turn into either like some sort of screaming match or we both just get way too stoned and we just don't want to do it anymore.
So we've decided to start with the second part to prevent the first part, perhaps.
Because,
although not that ever does.
Because I texted you this morning and this was my idea. Because we'll talk about the game and everything, and we'll talk about
there's a couple actual other things to do, but without Pat here, it's hard to take a real concept or a real topic and explore it in an organized way. So those things come through.
People think that Pat is the only one that knows fucking football on this podcast.
No, that was another thing we said. Yeah.
Pat is just the organized one.
Yes. I think I have more historical knowledge because I'm so old.
I have more floating memories in my head that are all like, they're all very,
yes,
you know, real to me.
But you've been drunk and high at a lot of those games, right?
Exactly. So that's fuzzy.
And Pat has not.
Mixed up, right.
And I have not in, you know, the first 20 years of my Nebraska fandom, I did not at all. But the last 20 years has erased the first 20 years from my memory in a lot of parts. So that's Pat's real advantage over the two of us is memory.
In height, you can see better.
That's another advantage. It doesn't come into play in the podcast as much.
It does. Like when you're in the stands and you're trying to see over
there. Yes.
You know,
he could see better stuff. You're right. Stuff that we miss Pat's seeing because he's standing in front of us at the stadium.
Right. So my idea is this. Since Pat's gone, he can't stop us from doing anything we want. I said, let's just get super stoned and talk about Husker conspiracy theories, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I don't know how to feel. I'm 40 years old.
Do you have – how many conspiracy theories do you have?
I say we just start at the beginning and – devils advocate our way through them.
Well, how about why don't we do something like this where I'll kind of start talking about the game and recruiting a little bit, which I had in my head. And then you could just stop it at any point and take us on a tangent of some conspiracy theory. Okay. Do you have any related to the game?
No, these all go back to it's the old tried and true ones.
Give me the example to start us off. Because we know that we beat Rutgers in a very, what do you call it? Satisfying? Was it Rutgers that we beat?
Yes.
I don't even know. That's what I mean.
I want to point out that question follows a 25 text chain telling me that I know the least about Husker football.
True.
I
wasn't the one saying that so much. I just...
Were certainly agreeing and hearty.
My brother was. No, I was agreeing that I know the most. My brother was teasing you. So that's the beginning of the football stuff. We beat Rutgers.
Yeah.
We had the typical Nebraska first half. And then I would say we had an atypical second half.
I would say the thing about the Huskers that's so weird is that they're both typical. Neither surprises me. Four fumbles, having 350 yards in the first half and somehow still losing to Rutgers in the first half.
Yeah.
Like, that does not surprise me at all.
No.
Lighting them up and putting up 500, 600 total yards of offense and only winning by 7 points does not surprise me.
No, no, that's true. But winning in the second half and having a better second half is the difference this year.
Well, this game.
This game. All right. That's enough about the game. What's your first? No.
Like, I'm with you. Like, because I think the Rutgers game is a weird game, right? Because if we win by 7 points, it's sort of like a whatever.
Yeah, we covered. That's what everybody expected.
Not even. We never cover. So if we cover,
that's true. Good. That's true. We don't this year.
And then second is, if we lose, I think the fire under Scott Frost's chair gets a little hotter if we lose. Yes, to Rutgers.
Absolutely. Even though it was a meaningless game, it was a must-win meaningless game. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a lose-lose.
Yes.
The only way that you can even potentially look at it and be like, this was dope, is if you were to beat them by as many as you beat them last year.
Right. Right. Now, we did. You're right, because we looked very good on offense, and actually we looked
really good on defense, minus a handful of big plays.
Those special teams plays, like, we won a game this year because our special teams was good, but we've probably lost two because our special teams was shit. And this one almost we lost.
Yeah, like, man.
Culp has been good kicking as a kicker. But everything else has been shit. The best punt of our season was Adrian Martinez's in that game.
That was crazy.
The whole thing was great. That was Robinson showed his athleticism on that, saving that ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was as good of a play as any other that game.
Robinson is something special.
Oh my God. I can see why all the wide receivers that they recruited are 6'3", 220 pounds. Because unless he gets crushed and destroyed, they don't need another one of him. I mean, you always want to have a few guys in depth, but like their whole wide receiver recruiting thing, which we could talk about in a little bit too, all of them are 6'3 guys, 6'4 even.
Yeah.
And he is Rondell Moore, especially next year, because I think he's going to, I mean, that dude, little guy, he doesn't shy from contact.
No. He doesn't.
Neither I mean, I thought he got knocked out on that touchdown.
Dude.
That's another thing we have to talk about, because we were tweeting this during the game. Mills runs your ass down.
I've been completely off social media for like 2 weeks.
That's why you're in such a relaxed, good mood.
Except Instagram a little bit. Because I like to look at pictures of butts and stuff.
And that, to me, the comments are what's harmful.
Yeah, that's I don't really read the comments. I just Google like peach emoji, or not Google, like search peach emoji on Instagram and then just look at butt.
Okay. All right. We don't need too much of the information.
I'm like a dog. Like,
but we were texting.
I'm barely evolved from a dog.
You don't have to tell.
If my dog could look up pictures of other dogs' butts, he would just look at dogs' butts all day long.
Oh yeah. My two cats. I mean, they're sisters. They know everything there is to know about one another's butts,
but they still curious. Butt. Yeah.
But Mills drive runs you down to the four, or the two, or whatever, and then those four plays on that goal line stand, the weird tight end handoff, a draw, Robinson, and then weird tight end handoff, Robinson, draw, timeout. Robinson runs around and gets in on the pitch, but gets nailed, just creamed. Yeah. It just, everything about that drive was kind of the overthinking of this season in a nutshell. You've got a guy, you're running. I mean, it's kind of funny how the run the damn ball thing has almost turned into like a legitimate criticism when it started out as like this old man thing.
Because the other criticism is too wordy. Because the other criticism is, build an offense around the guys you have, not the guys you want. That's the real criticism, right?
Right. Right.
But that doesn't sound good. It's hard to get a whole group of people to yell that at one time.
And run the damn ball.
So many words. You can't get people to clap in rhythm together.
Yes.
You know? So to get them to say some law. So that, what you get is run the damn ball. That's what you get.
Yeah.
It's like Budweiser. It's just easy to say.
Yeah. But in that instance, it's like, what did you write that you thought Mills slept with Frost's wife or something?
No, I haven't been tweeting, so it would have been Pat.
Somebody else said, oh, well, anyway, it was like a lot of times this year, when the whole fandom is questioning it, we can't all be wrong.
Exactly.
You know, like, I just think Frost, and I don't know if it's because of the pressure or, you know, that Florida, that UCF team was just, everything came together. The play calling, I remember watching so many of those games because we thought we were going to get Frost. And right. Just everything worked. But that was operating in confidence. Now yeah. They're operating a little in fear. And I don't know if he's outthinking himself at times, trying to get too cute or whatever. But it just seems like the play calling is not as intuitive and as good as it should be.
Yeah, it's. There's a lot of like weird. Like, I don't believe in like curses and stuff like that.
Right.
But you know how like there was the goat, the curse of the goat on the Cubbies or whatever?
Absolutely. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. Like it becomes a thing until it's just you just get over it.
Yes.
And like it feels like that's what's going on with Huskers. Like we just don't get the breaks.
You're exactly right about that Cubs thing, because now, thank God, I'm not a Cubs fan, but I lived in Chicago long enough to feel the emotion of Cub fans.
Yeah.
And just especially in that Marlins series that they lost. Like you can just feel amongst the fan base the fear, and it permeates onto the field, and
you can hear it when the whole audience goes, the whole crowd goes.
Yes, silence. And it's funny because we didn't have crowds this year, so you ask yourself, all right, if there's not that cue to them to panic, is it just that they feel? Like the state of Nebraska puts out a psychic energy because such a concentration of people. I can't think of another state.
Your mic got cut out. It got real quiet.
I probably got too close. I can't think of another state where a higher percentage of the citizens root for the football team. Right?
Oh, in Nebraska?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Notre Dame.
But in Indiana, you got Bloomington people taking it away. There's nothing taking away the fans.
That's true.
Even in Alabama, you got Auburn, which was another example I would have thought of. But I just don't like, it's like you feel it and you can feel them feeling it and then you see it. We need that quarterback. And ultimately people were questioning Martinez. I think Frost sticking with him may be a good thing going forward.
Well, I feel like that was sort of the plan all along because Scott Frost made the comment about how, I mean, when he first initially switched to Luke, I thought he was going to go with Luke, but then.
Because they'd been talking so much about how both guys were great.
Well, then he said Luke was the future, but then he made that comment about how the best thing that ever happened to him was getting benched. And you know how that turned out. And then the next week, Adrian Martinez started again. And I was like, oh, this is what he was. Sort of.
And we've talked about this amongst ourselves. Now, Tweety, your two quarterback system has never come as close to actually happening as with this roster, I'd say.
I know.
Because if you were to put all your best offensive players out on the field, you'd have McCaffrey and you'd have Martinez out there. There's no doubt. And that doesn't
so
even mean.
Why don't they do it?
I think you're going to see Frost and maybe the offensive coordinator talk to McCaffrey and his dad and say, look, you can maybe get to Jalen Hurts level in the NFL. Maybe. That's your ceiling in the NFL as a quarterback. Your ceiling in the NFL as a running back is your brother, who's the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL. I think they say that to him and say, or make him a wide receiver. I mean, Ed McCaffrey, that's what Ed McCaffrey was.
Right.
He was a tall.
Did he break his leg in a game?
Yes. He played for the Giants and the Broncos. And
I was watching that game and I remember his leg hitting that helmet and just wobbling.
Yep. Yep. And he was a player. Like, you know, like he was a good player. And his son could be the same thing. You know, I get that you want the quarterback because that's where the glory is. But you also have to understand nowadays there are 50 kids better than you in your age group who have throwing gurus and all that stuff. Maybe two of them can run as well as him. You know, like go with what you can do and use that. If you have a future in the NFL, it ain't at quarterback. That's my thought. And then suddenly you've got a very dynamic offense with Robinson and McCaffrey
that can arm punt his way to a first down.
Yes. Yeah. And that's exactly it. Nebraska has run a ton of plays over the years where a wing back or somebody throws the ball. Yeah. McCaffrey's got to be about as good as any of those guys throwing it. You know,
Martinez,
I'm not saying
finally
you
hit a deep ball.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But the only reason they hit that deep ball is because Robinson caught it. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't the perfect throw. It was a catch.
But but it was far enough.
Yes.
And it wasn't 20 yards too far.
Yes. Yes. It was within a 5-yard range.
Here's another thing that bothers me, right? So apparently they're blaming a couple of those fumbles on the fact that Martinez was wearing sleeves. That slippery Under Armour sleeve thing. Yep. Which bothers me on several levels. One, why is Martinez wearing sleeves? Like he didn't know that.
Apparently Mills got rid of the sleeve and then his fumbling stopped.
Yeah, and that's what they cut off the sleeve of Adrian Martinez's shirts, I guess. So it bothers me that Major Martinez didn't either think of that or was like, fuck it, I'd rather fumble than be cold. Both of those are bad. But on top, then you add the next layer, which is like, how come Held didn't say what the fuck, or not Held, but I guess Verduzco, why the fuck didn't Verduzco say to him, yo, take off the fucking sleeves, you fucking.
Yeah. His comfort. That's it. Maybe they're paying too much attention to the comfort of the players.
Is that it? Or are they just panicking and not even thinking about the details?
Right, right. Everything's going smoothly, things that stick out get noticed. When everything is a clusterfuck, everything is crazy, so things are going to get missed in there. That's a good theory. They do need to, I mean, something has to happen. And all year I was saying this was the best defensive. Now, again, it's against Rutgers' second and third string quarterbacks in a game that doesn't matter much. But you could see the defense was into it, at least. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This defense was, you know, flying to the ball, doing all the stuff you want your defense to do. I'm not saying it was the biggest challenge for them, but it's the best they've looked all year after I've been saying, you know, Chenander's got to go. I can't say really he's been the primary problem. But
it's so hard to tell who the primary problem is. The primary problem is retention.
Yeah.
That's the primary problem.
Yeah. So of players and of the players keeping the plays in mind.
What do you mean?
Like you're saying retention. Is it that our retention of talent on the team, or is it on the field, the players retaining the game plan?
Well, probably both, and probably a cause and effect. So like,
right. When you're
retention of players is a huge problem. Because they don't want to come to, because people from Florida don't want to come to Nebraska. Why would you? It's cold. We're losing all that. And
there's no crowds. This year was an anomaly.
Sure.
Those five kids who went.
But the last three or four weren't.
We have lost other ones in that way.
So, I mean, I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
And well, like, then just stick to Georgia, which is basically Florida.
Well, so then what do? They have to go to the JUCO market.
And
what's wrong with the JUCO market? They're
That has not paid off. We have not benefited.
That's how you get a guy that can run a 4-2-40 and has fucking perfect hands, and he comes to a team that's 3-7, and you're like, whoa,
why isn't he playing?
Like, no, he's just stupid as fuck. And so, like, he can't remember the plays. I mean, right?
I guess, but can't you still put a guy like that in for the 10 plays that he can remember?
That's what they've been doing with, like, Betts.
Well, you know, now in Betts' defense, he's a freshman.
Sure.
So, and the first time he touched the ball, he ran like 60 yards untouched, which would make me give it to him 10 more times.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And the way he moves like a giraffe on cocaine, like he was so tall and fast.
It was nuts. I was like, well, that's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know what the problem is. I think it's just there's mismanagement somewhere.
Yeah. If
you can stop this bleed of players and you can maintain the level of recruiting that you've done this year, the next 2 years.
Absolutely. There should be no.
I think you're talking, okay, we can start competing.
Sure. Because you could even make the point that the first class Frost gets in, we didn't have great retention in that. And that's your turnaround class. Okay.
Right.
But from the one after that, and that's the class where you start putting your culture into the school and everything. And so those, you know, that's your beginning class. And that wasn't his strongest class because he lost some of those players too. But at a certain point, it's going to be all Frost players. Right. And I think it might get a little delayed because of this year and how weird it was.
The thing is that it is basically all of Frost players now. It's not all of Frost players now.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Yeah. You know, we have a top 18, top 15, whatever recruiting class, depending on where you look or what year it is.
Top 20-ish in that range. So that's where we expect to be.
This is our worst recruiting class under Frost this year, I think.
I know. And when you consider
there's still another signing period. So
and there may be a couple players that we get. There's three or four guys who are still in the mix.
That guy from Omaha that was going to go to Minnesota.
Avante Dickerson.
Yeah.
And just the fact that he kind of was wavering on that is a good sign because we could use a cornerback there.
Yeah.
I hope Cam Taylor-Britt doesn't go pro, but if I were his folks, agent. I would tell. Yeah. Yes. Well, of course, every kid's agent tells him to go pro. But if I was his parent, I would tell him to go pro.
I would tell him to get that college degree because you're probably only going to get 2 years in the league, kid. That's what I would tell him if I was a parent.
I don't know. Cam Taylor-Britt looks like he could play for a while.
Sure.
But you're right. I mean, but
I'm just playing percentages.
He may already have his degree. At Nebraska, guys get their degree in 3 years a lot of times.
But yeah, if he's already got his degree, then I would go pro.
Yeah, exactly. Now all the guys can come back. Do you think Boodle comes back? I don't think he does. No.
I think that Boodle probably makes a practice squad somewhere.
Lamar Jackson-esque. Gets burned on a big play that makes SportsCenter and
never hear from him again. And the next thing you know, he's playing for Frankfurt Galaxy.
Frankfurt Galaxy. They're bringing back the European Football League.
World Football League, whatever it's called.
A lot of NFL guys came out of there. Well, maybe not a lot. A few.
Not a lot. A couple. I mean, Warren Moon came from, you know,
the CFL. Well, they've been bad with quarterbacks.
So did Jim Kelly.
Doug Flutie. No, he came from the USFL, Jim Kelly. Yeah,
so did Warren Moon.
Nope, Warren Moon was Canadian Football League.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Canadian Football League. Jim Kelly was, yes, USFL.
And Doug Flutie went up to Canada after the NFL gave up on him, won like 5 MVPs and 5 championships, came back at like 40 and took the Bills to a playoff appearance, I think, 1 year. Flutie would have been much better in today's game. Flutie was like that Kyler Murray guy, a little dude with a cannon who could, you know, scramble around. I really think he actually was born out of his time. All right. So we talked enough about the game, which we won. We're not going to a bowl game. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that is not a good sign.
Oh,
I think it's a bad sign of things to come.
I do not. I think every team that isn't in the playoff or going to like a Big Six bowl, like any team with a losing record.
You don't want free clothes and a free PlayStation. You'd rather not get that. You'd rather not play with your team than get a free PlayStation.
When I haven't seen my family since the before the school year started. Yeah, I think I trade that in.
Not 57-year-old Joe, but
no, still
22-year-old Joe.
I think actually 18, 19-year-old kids are even more homesick than I don't need to go back home. I'm okay. I talked to my parents in New York and, you know, that's one thing we were saying about this is, you know, when you travel for Christmas and you have kids, it's a nightmare. So we were like, you know, on the news, they were like the downside of not being able to travel and see your family for the holidays. And we were like, I don't know. When you live in California, you don't really want to go anywhere else for Christmas when your relatives live in Chicago or New York or where it's going to be freezing. It's like you come here. I disagree. I think that's I thought that the coaching staff was going to bully the players into doing it. And
well, the reason we're not doing it is because they let the players vote.
Yes.
And the players voted no.
Yes.
I think that it's less about wanting to see their families and more about wanting to end the pain.
Well, I don't blame them for that.
And
either.
Maybe both. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But
I think it probably is a little bit of both. Because do you really want to go to like
the practices?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, shit's about to go down. We're gonna lose. We're gonna have some people go.
Well, then let them go. They were going to go either way.
Coaches are going to get fired. And when those coaches get fired, players are going to go.
Maybe.
Then what happens is the recruits see a sinking ship. What do they do?
We just got how much more
issue. What?
How much more can the ship be sinking than it is now? We still got a top. I think that might be.
It can sink so much worse.
Sure. But I think the fact that we got a top 20 recruiting class this year with this team. In these circumstances, somebody's doing a good job of getting them. Recruiting
is doing a great job.
Development.
The problem is
development.
So easy to transfer now.
Yeah.
That it's hard.
But
to
the guys in the transfer thing that there's going to be guys who come in from the transfer market who are basically the same as the guys who left. You know, I feel like if you're a guy who's going to go into the transfer market because you don't have a place here and everything. You just then become one of the, you know, the replaceable huge group of players in NCAA football now. And really the people who are, I don't think big contributors are going to leave. It's going to be guys who don't like their spot on the squad.
Right.
And so
the guys that could be starters somewhere else,
maybe, but there's something that's not fitting in this culture. We do need to just,
or we've got two seniors or two juniors, even worse. They're just dominant and, you know, you're just not getting in the rotation yet.
I don't think we have too many juniors who are dominant at any position that a dominant guy can't get in there. But I'm fine with it. I also think a lot of bowl games are going to get canceled. And so teams are getting ahead of it. You don't want to do all this prep, get your truck ready. You're going to go down to Arizona and suddenly Arizona has, you know, what was in LA has spread out to Arizona. And now that's on COVID fire and they just cancel the game. And now these kids haven't seen their parents and you've stretched them out another month and they're like, F it, I'm quitting. So maybe this is cutting your losses at that point and saying, let's reassess, get back healthy mind, healthy bodies. We'll see.
I just don't think college kids care about COVID as much as you think college.
Oh, I don't think they do. They don't care about that. But they care about all the no crowds, the no fans, the staying in your hotel, the no parties. That's
what
they care about.
I think that the one thing Scott Frost has said that we needed more than anything, the one thing he keeps bringing up every year is that we don't get the extra bowl game prep. We don't get the extra practices in. So to not have that a third year in a row makes me go, I wonder that. I can't imagine that is what Scott Frost wanted.
Probably not. But and I also say good on him for not forcing the issue and alienating the team.
I think that that was done probably more out of necessity than it
was. Yeah, it is. But there are other coaches who wouldn't do that. I think there are coaches who would say, no, screw it. And you could say that, yeah.
I'm not bullish
on not practicing.
I'm definitely not bullish on that, but I'm not bullish on
Wow. Did you just disconnect? Because you are just frozen right there. And you couldn't have frozen at a better point. You just said, I'm not bullish on, and now you're frozen. So for people who are just listening to the audio of this, Tweety is just, his picture is frozen. He's got a little shit-eating grin on his face. And I think his thing... I think he disconnected right as he was saying
the future outlook of
this is so far behind. So you're back now, right? You can hear me. All right. So what the listeners are going to just heard was you going, you know, I'm not really bullish on. And then it froze for like 12 to 15 seconds. And I vamped about how you're just sitting there frozen after this punchline and we don't know what you're not bullish on. So that was really good timing for it to go out, but let's reset. You're not bullish on what?
the future of this team.
Oh, okay. Whoa. All right.
I mean, as the way it looks right now, I think there's going to be like, I keep wanting to say extradition, but that's not the word. I don't think that's the right word. What's the word I'm looking for? People leaving.
An exodus.
Exodus.
Movement of the people. So I don't think there's going to be one.
Of coach. And I think you may have a coach get fired. You may have a coach leave on their own.
That's true. That usually happens. But is that the worst thing in the world?
No, it's not. But I do think it could be. I do think it can be worse, and I do think that if Scott Frost isn't careful and doesn't handle these things correctly, what you're going to end up with is another Bo Pelini situation, where Scott Frost brings in all this talent and fucking somehow fucks it all up, and then some slick dick is going to come in and take his talent and look like a superstar for 4 years.
I don't think they're going to. No, Tweety, you're shit. No. They're not going to let. They're not going to let that happen to Frost. If he has any glimmer of hope, they're going to give him the opportunity to realize that hope. Because we've said this a million times before. In Frost, we trust because there ain't no other option at this point. Tommy Frazier's not going to come in and replace him and be better.
What if Frost says, I gotta step back. I gotta step away for personal reasons. My father just died.
He's not going to do that. His personality is not the guy who quits on that. Now, what if the Philadelphia Eagles or somebody say, come be our head coach? I have no idea why they would, because bringing Scott Frost in as a head coach after 5 years or 4 years or whatever it is at Nebraska, you'd probably get fired just for bringing him in.
No shit.
But that might be the thing that makes him leave. But I don't think that's going to happen either.
Maybe an offensive coordinator position in the NFL? Probably not.
Well, if he got fired from Nebraska, he would, but... Let's talk about who's the special teams coordinator on this team.
Do we have one? I feel like it's
right. Didn't somebody?
I got Groot. Like it's like a group.
Yes. Well, skip that. That's got to change.
Right.
Maybe Pat tweeted this. Like punters have more yards rushing against us than we have like return yards total. Like those two punt fakes are the most embarrassing thing that, and then the second one is just after the first one, that's to have a second fake punt like that that's a fireable offense.
But you can't fire all of these.
No, that's the advantage of all the coaches sharing. they need to set somebody aside as a special teams coach.
Yeah.
I mean, remember when we used to return punts for touchdowns? Like that was always a possibility.
Yeah.
Even to Abdullah, you know.
The crazy thing is that it's still a possibility.
Yes.
You have explosive players.
Yes.
that are capable of doing it. But for some reason, it's, there's just so many things I just don't understand about this team. We've lost 12 of our 19 losses have been by one possession.
Unbelievable.
Can you imagine if we're talking about Scott Frost being 22-7 now?
Well, even if half of those.
No, but let's just say it's the exact opposite.
Sure.
22-7, which well, is that, also,
then he's getting the NFL offers. But even if you take,
well, he's Bo Pelini at that point. I mean, right?
Right. But even if it's if you take that and you and they only win half, so instead of 22-7, it's 16-13. If he only wins half of those one score games,
right.
We're 16-13. We are over the moon if we're 16-13, because it probably means we won one of those Iowa games.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and it's, I mean, look how close the Northwestern game was this year.
Yeah.
Then look what they did to Ohio State.
Yep. In the first half, at least.
Yeah.
So let's talk.
But even in the second half, I mean, they didn't get blown out.
No, but they never get blown out. They could have won that game, but they had some turnovers too.
Right.
So recruiting, we got Harburg. We got Gabe Irvin, one running back from Georgia. We got those three big wide receivers. We got the best tight end class in America.
Yeah. And the best tight end in America.
Exactly. But then two other tight ends. We turned two Carney tight ends
James
away.
Carney and
Rollins.
Who?
Rollins, AJ Rollins from Omaha also. He might end up being a defensive end linebacker type guy if they convert him. Like Freedom. But hopefully better than how Freedom turned out.
Yeah.
And that is more a consequence of not getting a great rusher in our class this year.
Or a good deep.
They got a couple of decent defensive ends, and they might get another one from Las Vegas who hasn't committed yet, although he was a silent commit apparently, and then decided not to pull the trigger.
I want to see some coach. I want to see some assistants get fired, and I want to see them be aggressive with the replacements.
Well, my dad suggested Lovie Smith as D coordinator.
I thought that exact same thing.
I mean, that would be awesome.
Right.
But.
There's going to be a bunch of fired assistants at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That entire defensive staff is going to change overnight. But as a defensive coordinator, Lovie Smith is a big draw to recruits.
Oh, my God. Yes. That guy has put people in the Hall of Fame as a defense. You know, that would be you're right. That would be I think that would be a huge upgrade. In every sense of the word. Now we've got the loyalty of Frost coming in here, so it'll be hard to uproot that. Oh, and you know who Illinois hired?
Yeah, Brett Bielema.
Yes, Bielema's back.
Brett Bielema.
Yes, that's the first thing I thought about is when he got hired. I was like, Bielema.
Yep.
So, who knows?
Brett Bielema, dude.
What?
I fucking hate that guy.
Well,
I don't like that he's the head coach of Illinois because he's had our number for a decade.
Yes, he has. He built that Wisconsin kind of truck.
We don't need another Wisconsin in the Big Ten.
No, Illinois was, you know, but they beat us this year. So what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck is right?
So the recruits, good offensive line recruits. Again, they have changed the height. The average height of this team is 2 inches taller than it was when Frost came in across the board because everybody they're bringing in, all the receivers were 6'3", all the linemen were 6'8". So,
yeah, and it's crazy because Wandell has to bring down that curve quite a bit.
One man, you gotta get like, yeah. You got to get 12 players just to get him up to like 6'2".
Yeah.
So, and that makes Wandell even more effective if he's running behind a mountain of offensive line and you can't even find him. And I thought the guy who played left tackle did a good job in that game. We didn't miss Jameis. No, Jameis played. Or did Jameis leave? Brendan Jameis, did he play? Who's the guy who left?
Hymus, you mean?
Hymus.
He did not play, no.
Hymus left. Hymus is the one who...
Yeah, he wanted to take the time off to go prep for the NFL.
Right.
Which is another sign to me that I get not going to the bowl game, but one of your star O-linemen, seniors, didn't even finish the season.
Well, I think that's what makes the no bowl game decision a good one.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad or good necessarily.
Ryan,
I'm just saying that.
Ryan, imagine you're in college. You suspect it's going to be like college is all the time. And instead, you are locked in your room. You can't see your family the entire semester. Yes, one more game. I kind of am with you. But at that point, it's like, boy, you know the guy who the Cowboys drafted a couple years ago out of Notre Dame, who in the bowl game, that was a bowl game, but his leg got destroyed and he missed a whole year and probably lost $7 million on his total career.
Sure.
Hamus might not make $7 million in his career. So I kind of see protecting the pocketbook, especially if he already met with like a agent who's like, buddy, give it up. Here's $100,000 in advance loan that you'll never be able to pay back.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like the entire college football system needs to be overhauled.
Well,
this is what it's going to be forever.
Did you see this? They did a study that said remove football from college. Like they said,
make them farm teams and let us buy people.
They said that college football has so little in common with any other college sport.
Yeah.
The budgets, the amount of people you need for it, the stadium upgrades, the stadium upkeep and all that versus all these other sports that you can do in the same field house. Almost every other college sport you can play in the basketball court. You just convert it somehow. So if they took
and let Nebraska have, and Nebraska, you know, we can maybe, why can't we play the games at Memorial Stadium still?
Yes.
They let venues play at Pinnacle Bank, you know, like Miley Cyrus played.
Well, what you would do is it would still be connected. They would still be the team, but it's essentially you would just do all the paying the players stuff. And it's like a team. Instead of the team of student athletes, which they still can be, it's just a representative. You've paid to have this be your team. Like, I'm trying to think of how to put it, but it just needs to be separated from college altogether.
Yeah. Maybe there's like an option, like, hey, we can work something out with the university. You can get a scholarship or we'll pay you.
Right.
We just give you the cash value.
Or both. Or you could, you get free classes if you want them.
Cam Newton, we'll work something else out. How's a fucking $5 million a year?
Everybody gets this payment. And if you want the classes, they're there for free. And they're there for free even after you graduate. So your 4 years of classes don't have to get in the way of your football. You know what I mean? Like you could do all your pre-weks. Jesus.
And all of a sudden your career in the NFL, it ends at 25, go back to school.
You've got 2 years. You've got 2 years of credits already built up and you have 2 years of free school to get it finished.
Yep.
That's a much better way to do it.
Much better way to do it.
We've solved college football.
And then it avoids all the cheating and it's
like legalizing drugs.
Temperature advantage.
It's like legalizing drugs. You get the bad element out.
Yep.
We know we're better. All right. Well, Ryan, we did the episode we're not done, but I mean, we were supposed to start with some of your.
Not my conspiracy theories.
So at least let's. I have nothing left of consequence about Nebraska. So at least let's get some of these conspiracy theories. The only one I'm thinking of is the Big Ten against the offensive and defensive linemen of Nebraska.
I mean, maybe conspiracy theories is the wrong word.
Yeah, well, give me some of these ideas that have happened that you're like, talking about.
The whole argument over what is the cause of the downfall in Nebraska, like who do you blame?
Where do you pin it to?
Do you blame Osborne? Do you blame Solich? Do you blame Pelini? Who do you blame?
Right.
Right? Icor. Like
you have like, where did it all begin? I think you could see, I mean, I think it, where it all began is around the Solich era. Now, is it the beginning of the Solich era? Is it the end of the Solich era? That's where it began. It could have been fixed far earlier. That, to me, is the bigger problem. Yes, Nebraska went from being a powerhouse and then dipped. Other teams dip. Alabama's probably going to dip when Saban leaves. But yeah, the point is, are you able to get back in less than 25 years? That should be able to, with it, when you're turning your classes over every 4 years completely, you should be able to get it done in less than five turnovers of classes. So yeah, that's, I think it's less maybe that, where did it go wrong and how did it continue to go wrong for so long?
So this might be where my conspiracy theory comes in. Cause how do you blame Peterson? You blame Peterson. You can't fix that eventually. Like, how long does it take to fix all this shit? Which is, so I don't think that fixing it was ever really
right.
The plan. I think that the plan for so long was, how do we keep the money coming in?
Yes.
What is the most effective way to get the money coming in? And at some point they realized that W's don't really matter.
Oh. Well, they don't matter to the money as much as you would think.
As much as you would think.
With all the TV money coming in.
Not when you can save $10 million a year getting this coach. And the difference when there's no W's isn't really that much.
Because all the Big Ten money is going to all the teams anyway, evenly, no matter what they do.
Right. And also, Husker fans are so fucking dumb. We just bought, like, look at me.
Loyal.
You know?
Yeah. I can see that.
And it, to a point where basically a recruiting tactic is, hey, don't worry. Husker fans are so fucking stupid. They're going to vote. They're going to cheer for you. Look what they're doing when we lose. That's the recruiting tactic. That's not how they put it, but that's basically what they're saying.
And it also, you know, it points to like Riley getting a lot of 4 stars that didn't really matter. Just so the fans are like, hey, look at this recruiting class we got. But if you were to get down into the details of it, It's a shallow recruiting class. It's just a mirage.
Right.
But we buy the mirage at Nebraska for longer than most people.
Stars that we're still swimming around the fucking. Yeah.
You know, Tyjon Lindsey threw a touchdown pass last night.
Did he?
Yep. For Oregon State wide receiver.
How many busts did we have? Johnny Stanton. Harrison Beck, probably the biggest, dumbest bust I've ever had.
You're right. Because
Bubba Starling he wasn't a bust. He just didn't show up.
Tommy Armstrong and Adrian Martinez, they were back to back.
Who?
Tommy Armstrong and Adrian Martinez.
No, Tommy Armstrong became Tanner Lee.
Okay. Well, who was before Tommy?
Taylor Martinez.
Taylor is who I'm thinking of. Taylor Martinez. I'm sorry. So Taylor and Tommy are basically, because they put up the stat about Nebraska rushing and quarterback, and Jamal Lord had a career that was very surprising to me. I saw the stats, 2,500 career rushing yards. He was a good running back. I mean, quarterback. But we haven't had really since him, except for Taylor and Tommy, who were kind of disappointing, there hasn't been that quarterback. There hasn't been that Tommy Frazier, that even Eric Crouch, I hate to say it, you know, to kind of lead the team with confidence. I just don't think that position has been where it needs to have been.
It's been inconsistent.
It has. And again, yes, Adrian has shown all these possibilities, but...
Well, let me ask
never
you
never fully.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My brother Mike has joined us for the rare appearance on the Cobcast. Coming in near the end, of course.
I almost instantly regret.
Turn your camera the other way.
That text chain.
Putting Mike in there. He looks very angry and pale now.
Very angry and
he's unkept, my brother's but you've lost weight, Mike. You are skinny.
Yeah.
What do you have to say? You gonna add anything to the conversation?
That's it. Gonna... That is the whole. Turn your camera the other way, bro.
Oh, wait, you can't see me?
I can see you, but we need to get the full turn. Yeah. Yeah. See, and
angle it like that.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Ryan, you look like Scott Frost.
You're the second person that's
Molly
told me that.
Said that the other day too. I forgot to mention
third
that.
Person that said that.
And well, I didn't want to mention it because I was like, if Tweety knew you said that, he'd be so thrilled.
Except I have these weird thin lips that if I'm not careful, it looks like I have no teeth. See?
Yeah, like Tina Fey.
Joe, you look like Carl Pellini post his mugshot.
I got more hair than Carl Pellini.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, Mike, this is a perfect question for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did I quit being a Nebraska fan?
No, hold on. I think you're going to, that's sort of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my argument is, I think that it's not a series of events that have necessarily made Nebraska bad. It's the politics behind the curtain.
We're trying to figure out what was the behind the downfall.
Like the people just wanted to keep the money ball going because they could make money off of it. Like,
and losing wasn't a factor in terms of money. At a certain point with the Big Ten contract, Ryan is saying, we made money no matter what, win or lose. Kind of like the Cubs. I think that was actually a pretty good comparison.
Yeah.
Where the fan base is so ridiculously loyal. You have enough money streams coming in that even losing is not going to hurt the bottom line.
And why are there so many boosters? Because boosters rich people don't just give away money for the sake of giving away money. What do boosters gain? So it's almost like a weird football mafia.
Oh, absolutely. College football should be defined as football mafia because it operates the same way. All right, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Of course. As we ask him the question, we get his thumb.
What was the question? There wasn't a question.
Well, we were basically going over, like, Ryan is saying that winning wasn't important enough behind the scenes, so that the people who are making money, the university's making money. Like, I don't exactly know what Ryan is saying.
Finding a coach that wins isn't necessarily the goal.
Right.
The goal is to increase how much money and revenue is coming in for so long. Because why are there so many boosters at a school that isn't doing well?
Because if you get it,
because there's money.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Eventually, see, the difference between the Cubs was and the Nebraska is that the Cubs and the people, especially, you know, for the last 40 years, besides the one World Series, they had no history of winning. They were losers. They were losers.
They were losers, so, like us, without the winning behind it.
Right. Nebraska, prior to, you know, the last 20 years or so, had three decades of dominance and championships and all of that. So that's not as good a comparison.
It's like if the Yankees turned into the Cubs.
It's like Brendan was saying, it's like Arsenal, or, you know, a team that was really great and is now.
Yeah. Arsenal's maybe not the best example for our listeners, but.
I'm trying to think of Indiana basketball, Montreal Canadiens is a good one. Yeah.
They had all those titles and now they're just irrelevant.
Mike Tyson.
Well, there's a difference. Mike Tyson cannot continue going on. I mean,
once he lost to Buster Douglas, it was just a fall.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is he doesn't have the advantage of his program can't go 20 more years. And actually the last 20 years, Tyson's probably, it's been the best 20 years of his existence.
Probably. He hasn't been getting hit in the face that much.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to end up happening if they keep losing is they will end up, you know, losing money. You know, I know the Big Ten is this and that, and maybe the bottom line is what's most important. But I think that, you know, I think that eventually people are just going to do what I did and just kind of walk away. It's too painful.
Well, but also I think that Scott Frost is supposed to be the solution to that.
And also, Mike, you've walked away at least six times.
No.
Yes.
No. It's been gradual, but I the last couple of
years. But you keep coming back.
When have I come back?
Oh, my.
I'm not back.
You're back.
So, okay, let's think about this.
You know, I don't think I've watched one full quarter this entire season.
Well,
I had
it
on once.
That's a wise choice for your mental health this year. But maybe you're saying all years it's a wise choice at this point.
I think that, you know, there were the games Pelini coached that were against the Gimmies. Those were fun to watch, but any big game, any big game was never fun to watch.
We really haven't had a fun watch where you sit down and it's like,
probably that comeback against Ohio State in Pelini's like second or third year.
Yes, where what's the name got hurt. And actually, there's been some like shitty.
I mean, why do you always got to say it like that? Why can't we just take the W? You know,
because their starting quarterback got hurt. There was a game against Michigan State that was exciting. Like we won at the end.
No,
that season where they had Kellogg was full of crazy endings. Where Kellogg was their quarterback, he had the Northwestern.
It wasn't Kellogg that was the quarterback. It was Martinez.
Was it Martinez?
And
didn't Westerkamp catch a?
Yeah, because Martinez was injured, right? Kellogg wasn't quarterback for a whole season, was he?
No, not the whole season. Just that game, I think.
Yeah, just that game.
But do you see what we're doing? We're picking and choosing from these years. We're not like, oh, the Oklahoma game where we trounced them, where it would be an easy thing to remember. We're looking for little games against Michigan State or Northwestern.
And even in all of that, there's no stakes. I mean, they in the 90s, every game had stakes. Every single game, every loss had stakes. Now they lose so quickly into the season. The rest of the season's a bummer. I mean, I remember, you know, in the night again, you know, and now I feel like an old grouchy old man, but
that's,
you know, you're like, oh, I remember, you know, every single game was important every year. And I didn't even think about the Big 8 title or the Big 12 title. All I cared about was the national title.
This is going to be great on the video feed, by the way, the way you swing your camera around and stuff when you're talking. You're right, because each season it's been like we're three losses down. So now you're like, can we have a winning season? Can we make a bowl? Before it was can we be in the national championship game? So I get the drop off here. And I don't think we're solving it or anything. I do think Ryan has a point where for a while, especially early on in the Big Ten, the money was so much coming in that it did perhaps trump the winning and everything. But now we've been down that road 100 times with the Big Ten. We know that they don't respect us and we don't like them. And that whole relationship is pretty settled in that way. So now it's time to get over that shit and either kick the shit out of the Big Ten for being assholes to us this whole time for coming in or fold up.
You know,
I think they're folding. I mean, are they going to kick the shit out of the Big Ten? When will
next
that
year
happen? Yeah.
We still don't have a Tommy Frazier.
Well, I mean, you mean a once in a generation quarterback?
Yeah, it's time. It's been a generation since him.
You know, there have been good quarterbacks since him. I mean, even Crouch was a good quarterback.
All right. Yeah, I could say since Crouch. That's what I was saying to Tweety is like
and
looking
then
at
Turner Gill before him. Go ahead.
Yeah, but Turner, getting that now you're talking about before you were born almost.
But that's what I'm saying. At least they had good quarterbacks over time.
Consistently. Jamal Lord was better than people thought, again, because their offense was very good. So maybe they were creating good quarterbacks because their line was so good. And other like Florida.
All of that.
You look at a Florida game, even Alabama, those quarterbacks put up incredible stats. But if you're throwing to two NFL wide receivers at Alabama, you know, who are going to be in the top 10 picks.
Oh, yeah.
All these quarterbacks.
You know, with 400-pound linemen who are as quick as, you know, Nebraska's tight ends.
Right. And that's why Nebraska running backs through those years had so many yards rushing because they could just go behind those big linemen.
Right.
Getting there with the linemen, though. You don't think so?
I don't know.
Well, I've been following the recruiting very closely since we've had that stupid rivals thing, which I want to let go because it's just become our father going on these chat boards. In fact, somebody asked him, was like, hey, is this Mike Canale?
Yeah. Pat.
Yeah,
Pat Rayner. Yeah, great guy. Omaha right. guy.
So he was asking our dad, because it's under my brother's name, and my dad was like, oh, they're my sons. Now, let me get back on this thread about...
What do you think's better, Jesus or Jesus when he was older? Baby Jesus or older Jesus?
Bearded Jesus or clean-shaven Jesus? Where do you stand? Right. yeah, those threads need to go. But all the linemen we've gotten these past couple classes... I was saying to Tweety, the average height of this Nebraska team is 2 or 3 inches taller than it was 3 years ago. And that's with Robinson bringing down the curve quite a bit.
And isn't there that like little backup quarterback, Kurt Warner's son?
Smothers.
Smothers?
McCaffrey. McCaffrey? Isn't he like 5'4"?
No,
he's like God almighty, Mike. Something.
You really haven't been watching. We went through a whole thing of how McCaffrey should be a running back like his brother and be the highest paid running back in the NFL. Because he could be good in that position. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Well,
Eric Crouch never wanted to do that. Scott Frost, another good quarterback. I mean, there were good quarterbacks.
Yes, that's what we're saying. So do you think Adrian Martinez is that guy? Are we still waiting?
Let me ask you this.
Adrian Martinez is finished.
Of all those three quarterbacks that you just mentioned,
yeah,
four quarterbacks that have been mentioned, how many of them played quarterback in the NFL?
Well, that's important. That's one of the differences in the game today. I mean, guys like that were never NFL quarterbacks. And maybe that's one of the things, you know, they've got to recruit somebody who thinks he may end up being an NFL quarterback.
And maybe that's what Adrian Martinez thought. I mean, Marcus Mariota
is if he's not a fucking
no, he's not accurate enough.
That's what I'm saying. He's not accurate enough, and he fumbles too much.
Boy, he had that great that freshman year. That was the last year that I.
That's only 2 years ago, Mike.
But he can run like a
yes, and he throws better than McCaffrey. I think he throws fine for that offense.
Yeah. Way better.
But you think about the guys who Oregon had is Mariota, who won the Heisman. And this guy now in San Diego, who he's clearly a stud. We haven't had a guy like Bobby Hebert. Yes. Not Bobby Hebert, but whatever his name is. Bobby Hebert, quarterback for the Saints and the Bears in like the early 80s.
Yeah, they were decent.
Justin Hebert.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't had a quarterback of that level. I do think McCaffrey should switch positions, but this is stuff we said earlier, Mike. You're coming in.
Yeah, this is the thing. I don't want to just keep repeating the same.
All right. So let's. What do we got to get out of? Because I don't think we're going to do an episode next week for the holidays.
I don't know.
Is their season over now?
Yeah, they decided to not do a bowl game. Oh, Pat's got interviews that he's going to put up, apparently.
I don't think so.
He said that we have interviews.
Yeah, well, I think he's wrong.
So, folks, we may or may not have something for you next week.
Yeah, well, I think not going. I think we will have something, but it's not going to be an interview.
Oh, all right. So maybe we are doing an episode.
Yeah.
Well, now that Pat sat out this one, he can't sit out another one for a year, right?
Right.
He only gets to sit out his anniversary weekend.
Yep, that's it.
This is his anniversary weekend?
Yeah, that's why you're here, Mike.
He got married in December?
Yeah.
So did I.
Oh yeah, you did.
Yeah, on the week of the Big Ten championship game, apparently.
Who did Joe did?
No, Pat.
Pat. Wow.
Oh, when did he get married?
A few years ago. Married, I mean.
The week of the Big Ten championship. Wow, that's not a very good fan, is it?
Hey, well, Mike, were they in?
Well, they could have been.
Yeah, no, they couldn't.
When he picked the date.
No.
That's not very confident.
No. No, and it was right to do it. Good for him. Probably had a beautiful wedding.
Yeah, I think he's been revealed as a fake fan now.
Something like 2004.
He's been married
that
long?
He got married in 2004? No.
Pat's been married for 16 years?
No, hold on. No, more like...
16 years.
Isn't he only like 27?
No.
Pat?
No. Pat's like 48.
At least.
That's how old I am, I think.
You are.
All right. This I thought there'd be like some sparks or something when Mike came in, but he really just sucked the air out of this with his rocking chair and his reflection off his glasses and his shaky camera work.
He somehow, you know what he looks like? Have you guys seen Schitt's Creek?
Yes.
He looks like the son if the son was an accountant.
He looks
I'm just doing this stupid podcast. Oh, I mean, it's fun. It's fun. Joe and Ryan.
All right. Are you talking to your son?
No, I'm talking to my wife.
Okay. Well, this is really devolved into nothingness.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a little bit. That was something.
Do our social media, Joe.
What's that?
Tell everybody our social media.
Oof. Wait. Before we get there, let me bring up one more point.
You're just trying to delay.
Do you guys just throw this in? Does it go straight? Do you edit it anymore?
All right. Stop trying to just... You can follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. Our Patreon is at Big Red Cobcast also, I believe.
I'm pretty sure it's patreon.com/cobcast.
Patreon.com/cobcast.
That's an empty change.
Or you can also just go to patreon.com and search Big Red Cobcast in the search bar.
You can do that. Yeah. You can, we usually on Twitter, now Ryan luckily has taken time off from Twitter for his mental health, but Pat's usually good at responding to stuff back and forth. So you can contact us through that. And the holidays are coming up. Have a happy holiday. No more games for Nebraska.
Listen, folks, don't donate to the Patreon. Go donate a Democratic.
I just muted Mike. He's just talking. I just muted Mike because, Mike, you can't go into your. No, you can't unmute yourself and you can't go into a political. Oh, you did. He did. I don't know how this works then.
Here's the thing. Or donate to it.
All right, I muted him again.
Donate to a charity.
Oh, that's fine. We are kind of a charity, though.
Only if that charity is the NRA.
Oof, that's not a charity.
No.
All right. Have a happy holidays, everybody. We left the season with a win. Whatever that is, whatever other failures of this season have happened, we did win our last game.
Against the losingest program in the history of college football.
We squeaked it out. Thank God Bedrill wasn't playing quarterback. Oh, that would have been the ultimate insult.
If Bedrill beats Frost, I think it's going to be an ugly offseason anyways.
Yeah.
It would have been a fucking massacre.
A nightmare. Nightmare. Yeah. So we avoided that, folks. It could be worse, as Ryan has said several times this episode.
Yeah, and it can still get worse.
As he keeps saying, it can still get worse. I think Avante Dickerson's coming.
That's a misunderstanding I think that people have. People think this
bottom
idea
of the barrel.
That rock bottom even exists.
Right.
The
it can always get
rock
worse.
Bottom that exists is death, and sometimes death is great. Sometimes
death is a step up.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea that rock bottom, there's eventually a place to stop.
Is this really how you want to take us out of this episode?
Yeah.
Talking about how there's no rock bottom?
Yes, I do. I want you guys to realize that this just might get worse every day for the rest of your life. And you pray for the sweet release of death, but you're too much of a coward to do it to yourself.
All right, Mike, start us off with a fatty rides a bus.
Oh, you know I won't do that. You know I won't do that, fellas.
You won't do what?
I won't say what you want to say.
What do you want? What do I want you to say? All right, well then, fine. We don't need you to say it. I'll say it for Mike first.
Fatty ride your bus.
No. There wasn't enough fat in your throat when you said that. You got to make it sound like it's more.
No,
fat.
No.
Ryan. Mike's skinny. He's skinny like he was in Amsterdam.
No, he's skinny he's for Mike. Though. He's still fat for the average person.
No, oh, look at his chin. Look at his face.
Look at Ryan. Looks like a tomato.
All right, come on, guys. Happy holidays.
Fucking jackass tomato.
Let's get out of here. Fatty rides a bus. Say it, somebody. Bye.
been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at HuskerFilm.com.